Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about oil, and specifically the EU ban on Russian oil, which has just been announced. We'll talk about the terms of that ban and have a look at the difference between the seaborne imports and the pipeline imports, because there is a higher dependency from countries that receive their oil from pipelines, mainly because they're landlocked. They're situated in the centre of Europe, so it's much more difficult to be able to replace those supplies with supplies from other countries. We'll then look at the breakdown of the dependence on Russian oil per country in Europe, and we'll see that there's some countries that have a really high dependence. So switching out those supplies, firstly, is going to be a logistical challenge, but also will be more expensive. We'll then look at what the impact of all of this is going to be on Europe and also on Russia, because Russia has been exporting over half of all of its oil directly to Europe. So when you lose one of your major customers for any business, that's going to have a really big impact. So we'll talk about that. And then finally, I'll wrap up today with my summary as to what I think the implications of this ban are for oil prices and the global economy, and what I think is likely to happen as a result of this. So before we get into all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content. And also, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. I'm still on that push to get to 100,000 subscribers. Getting closer every day, but still some way away yet, so I still need your help. And don't forget, I always include chapters in my videos, so if there's a section you're not that interested in, it's really easy to skip over it. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look in the description below, where you'll find links to Patreon, Buy Me a Coffee, and YouTube Super Thanks feature. After months of prevaricating, the EU has finally announced the ban on the import of Russian oil. The news was initially announced via a tweet from the European Council President Charles Michel, which said agreement to ban export of Russian oil to the EU. This immediately covers more than two-thirds of oil imports from Russia, cutting a huge source of financing for its war machine. Maximum pressure on Russia to end the war. So what are the exact details of this ban? Well, to get into the detail on that, you have to look at the two different ways that the EU is importing oil from Russia. Two-thirds of all of the oil comes directly via the sea on tankers, and one-third comes from the pipeline infrastructure that Russia has installed throughout Europe. In addition to the transportation methods, there are also two different types of oil that Russia is exporting. Crude oil, which as the term implies, is in its crude form and needs to be refined before it can be sold, and refined products such as gasoline and diesel. The ban on seaborne crude imports will be phased in over the next 6 months, whilst the ban on refined products will be phased in over 8 months. In terms of the oil that's being imported via the pipelines, there isn't actually a formal ban that's been introduced by the EU. However, the vast majority of EU countries have voluntarily stepped forward and stated that they will ban all imports of Russian oil. The exemptions to this are Hungary, Czech Republic, and Slovakia. And the reasons for that is that those countries are landlocked, and it would be very difficult logistically, but also very expensive to replace all of the Russian oil overnight. So methods will have to be put into place to be able to provide those countries with a cost-efficient way of supplying them with oil. This table shows the countries of Europe and their historic dependence on Russian oil. And broadly speaking, there is a higher dependence depending on the geographic location of these countries. So the countries at the top are located very close to Russia, and therefore it's relatively easy to be able to transport large volumes of oil. And as we move down the list, we are broadly moving further away from Russia. What's also interesting to note is two of the countries in the top four, Finland and Poland, both recently had their gas supplies completely switched off from Russia. So these countries are already in transition. They're already moving away from their relationship. And there's obviously some political issues there. Finland recently applied to join NATO and have received a variety of threats from Russia about that situation. So they clearly are looking to distance themselves in terms of all of their trading relationships. And equally, Poland have been very outspoken. They were one of the first countries that came out and stated that they would not be making any payments in rubles for energy, and therefore were one of the first countries that got switched off from their gas supplies. What's also interesting to note is that Slovakia and Hungary are two of the three countries, along with the Czech Republic, who have been given an exemption by the EU because it's seen as being very difficult from a practical perspective to be able to replace the massive volumes of oil that those countries are receiving in proportionate terms in the short term in a cost-effective way. The largest country economically in Europe that's highest on this list is Germany, which historically received around 30% of all of its imports of oil directly from Russia. This table is showing the percentage dependence of each of these countries on the Russian imports. But to give it real perspective, we have to have a look at what this means in terms of actual volumes, because some of these countries are relatively small, and therefore, even though the percentage dependence might be high, the actual volumes are relatively low. So let's move on and look at the actual volume of oil being imported by each country. This table shows how many thousand barrels of oil per day each of the European countries is importing directly from Russia. The red sections of this graph indicate imports of crude oil, and the orange sections indicate refined products. And as you can see, the vast majority of imports are in a crude oil format, and there's a number of reasons for that. Firstly, crude oil is cheaper because it hasn't been refined and therefore is lower margin, and that's more attractive to buyers. Secondly, a lot of these countries have their own refineries and therefore they can accept deliveries of crude oil and then they can refine those products, add value to it, and then produce exactly what's needed for their local markets. And thirdly, the purchase of refined products is more expensive and therefore requires higher amounts of capital. So the first thing to note about this chart is that Germany is right at the top. So the previous chart that we saw in terms of percentage dependency showed that Germany ranked 7th in Europe and had a dependency of around about 30%. However, in terms of the actual volume of oil that it's buying, it's by far the largest. And on average was purchasing 836,000 barrels of oil per day, with the split being 687,000 barrels of crude and 149,000 barrels of refined oil. And to put some value on those purchases, if we assume that a barrel of oil costs roughly $100 at the moment, then 836,000 barrels per day would equate to around $83.6 million per day that Germany is paying to Russia for those purchases. The next largest purchaser of oil is the Netherlands, which acquired around 749,000 barrels per day. Now, that at first glance may seem surprising because the Netherlands is a relatively small country. They only have a population of around 17 million people. However, the Netherlands has an unusual position in Europe because it is one of the main traders of oil and gas. So geographically, it has a very convenient location. It's situated in Northern Europe. It has quite a large coastline and it also has large storage facilities. So that's why it's one of the biggest purchasers. It's not using all of that oil in its own markets. It's refining a lot of it and then moving it on, selling it on to other markets. Third on the list historically is Poland, that has been buying 508,000 barrels per day. And this is interesting because both Poland and Germany receive the majority of their oil via pipelines. So this is logistically going to be very difficult for both of these countries to move away from this supply, because the whole point of having a pipeline installed is that it provides low-cost delivery of that oil. It's very convenient because it can be piped directly into your refinery. So this reduces the transport costs dramatically. It's also interesting to note the fourth on the list historically is Finland, which is a relatively small country, only has a population of around 5 million, but has been importing 246,000 barrels of oil per day. And also Finland has recently had its gas supplies cut off by Russia for not paying for those purchases in rubles. One of the other interesting things to note about this chart is the countries that are importing a lot of refined products. So you can see that on the right-hand side, the orange sections, Germany, Netherlands and Poland are importing large amounts of refined. But relative to the total amount they're importing, Turkey is importing almost half of all of its oil from Russia in a refined form, whilst France and the UK are importing the majority of their oil from Russia in a refined format. And why that's interesting is that it should be easier for those countries to be able to switch off their supplies overnight, because they're just buying in refined product, to be able to use in their home markets. And so they can find other countries that have got the same refined products. When you're talking about crude oil, you need to make sure that the crude that you're receiving works in terms of the refineries that you've got in your country. So there are different types of crude depending on how much sulfur's in it, how thick it is, all of those technical issues. And if you suddenly change your supply of crude and it has different consistencies, then that can cause major problems in your refineries. So that's why this chart has been structured as it is, where it's showing the countries at the top that have the highest amounts of crude oil imports, because it's more difficult for those countries to be able to swap out their supplies because they need to find a like-for-like supplier that is giving them similar forms of crude oil. If you change your supplier and it's an entirely different type of crude, then that's going to make it less efficient to put through your refinery. I recently posted a video about Russia providing crude oil to Sri Lanka, and the type of Siberian crude that it was delivering was actually not the right type of crude compared to what that refinery has been using historically. So that will make the refinery less efficient and will increase the production costs of that oil. So we've talked about the individual dependence from each country in Europe and also how much they're buying each day. But let's have a look at the percentages from Russia's perspective, how much they're exporting to each of the different areas of the world. This chart shows the breakdown of Russian oil exports in 2021. So this table shows that 29% of all of Russia's exports went to the EU in the form of crude oil, 16% went to the EU in the form of refined products, and another 6% went to other countries in Europe. So in 2021, 45% of all of Russia's exports went directly to the EU and 51% went to Europe in total. 22% went to China, 10% to the US, 6% to other countries in Asia, leaving 11% for the rest of the world. So what this chart tells us is that a massive percentage of Russia's exports have been going to the EU historically. And if any business loses 45% of its customers in a short space of time, that is going to be very disruptive and will usually have a massive impact on profit margins. This chart plots the price of a barrel of crude oil over the last 12 months. And you can see that since December 2021, as concerns around the potential for Russia to invade Ukraine started to rise, this was the period that Putin was starting to build troops on the Ukraine border, and there was a lot of talk in the press about what was going to happen. Putin denied that he was going to invade the country. He said he was just building his military presence and there was nothing to be concerned about. But over that period of time, the market started to be concerned that there would be impact on future oil supplies. And the market is always trading ahead. So when you're doing a deal on a barrel of crude, you'll be doing it for delivery in 2 or 3 or 6 months' time. So it's always forward looking. So that's why the prices started to move from the 1st of December onwards. But we can see that since that point, there has been a rapid increase in the price of a barrel of oil. On the 23rd of February, the day before the invasion started, prices had got up to $90 per barrel. And as soon as the invasion started on the 24th, prices took off. Now, this chart shows the average price per day. It doesn't show the intraday spikes because we saw after the 24th of February, prices touched around $150 briefly. The price is currently above $115 per barrel, but there's been speculation in the press recently from Bank of America that we could see a return to $150 per barrel as this ban from the EU takes effect and the full costs of switching out from Russia's supply are passed on to the markets. The bottom line impact of this ban is that we are going to see a prolonged period of very high oil prices all across the world. In Europe, the price of oil is going to become really expensive because when you're changing out a low-cost supplier and replacing it with something that's more expensive, those costs have to be passed on. In the short term, gasoline and diesel are the perfect examples of inelastic demand. And if you're not familiar with the term, inelastic demand means that even if prices go up for a certain product, demand will remain high. So it means that people need to buy it. Most vehicles in Europe are still gasoline or diesel driven. And because people need to travel around, you need to travel to work, you need to get about socially, They need to buy that product. So even if the price goes up 10, 15, 20, 30% overnight, it will still be bought. You can't avoid buying diesel and gasoline if you want to use your motor vehicle. And the reason that Europe has been buying massive quantities of oil from Russia is that firstly, geographically, it's quite close. So that means that the transport costs are reduced. But secondly, the pipelines that were installed meant that Russia could deliver large volumes of that oil for a very low cost. So that was the perfect scenario for all of the buyers. You want to buy oil for the lowest possible price. It's a generic product. It's roughly speaking the same wherever you buy it from. So therefore, the lowest price is the most attractive. Europe banning the purchase of Russian oil means, by definition, they are going to have to transport that oil over longer distances. So that means that the transport costs will increase. But the actual price of oil is also going to increase because Europe are now reducing the number of buyers that they can buy from. And in any market, if you've got a reduction in the number of sellers, then that means that those sellers will have to increase their prices as demand for their products rises. So there's no way of avoiding it. Europe will be paying more for its oil and those price increases will be passed on to consumers. So this is going to feed through into the economy and we're going to see inflation being pushed up even further. So this is coming at a really bad time for Europe because inflation is already at record levels in a lot of countries. And the rate of interest in Europe right now is 0% for the EU. So they haven't started increasing any of their interest rates yet. So they're going to have to play catch up on all of that. And we could see some really rapid increases in interest rates in the short term in the EU. However, the impact of this ban won't be restricted just to the EU. Because the EU is now changing the way it's buying oil, that will increase the price of oil globally. So we will see the price of oil go up and it's likely to stay high because the supply chains that need to be put in place to deliver all of these massive volumes of oil to Europe are going to have to change. And that's going to change the way a lot of countries do business and prices are going to stay high for a very long time. Now, you might be thinking that a period of prolonged high oil prices will be good news for Russia, but that's unlikely to be the case because Russia has been selling over half of all of its oil directly into Europe. And the reason it's been doing that is because it's installed all of these pipelines and it's the shortest distance to be able to transport all of that oil over. And that's a great market for Russia. But losing that great market means that it's going to have to go further afield. So even if it can find new buyers in Asia or other parts of the world, it will increase all the transport costs and it will increase all of the logistics. So it's going to put more pressure on Russia. And as I've mentioned in other videos, there are other factors at play here. Firstly, we've got all of the sanctions that are in place against Russia. And it's not just Europe who are applying those sanctions. The US, Canada, Australia, a variety of countries have come out and agreed to the sanctions. And those sanctions may well get to a secondary level. So as the EU cuts its ties with Russia, it can then apply pressure onto countries such as China and India and tell those countries that if they don't comply with the sanctions, then they may well find themselves facing sanctions as well. And that will be a problem for countries like China and India because they need the technology that the Western world is producing. So it's not just a straightforward transition for Russia to be able to move from selling to Europe to selling to Asia, because they may find those markets are firstly more difficult to get to, but secondly, are impossible to get to if the sanctions are applied effectively against it. So losing half of its customer base is definitely going to be bad news for Russia and potentially could be catastrophic if the sanctions are applied in an effective way. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, we've all known that this ban has been coming. Since Russia invaded Ukraine, the EU has been talking about banning the purchase of all oil, but it's found logistically it's been very difficult to implement. We've now got a defined timeline. Over the next 8 months, we will see the vast majority of all purchases of oil from Russia cancelled. And that's going to have a massive impact, not just on Europe, but the global economy. What we are doing here is increasing the price of everything because the price of oil feeds through into absolutely everything. Things need to be transported. Oil is the main form of transport still across the world. We don't have enough electric vehicles right now, but oil is also used to produce electricity, and it's also used in the petrochemicals industry, whereby lots and lots of byproducts are used to create plastics and a variety of other products. So increasing the price of oil, by definition, will feed through into the price of many, many, many other items. So we're pushing inflation higher. And this is coming at a time when we've got record levels of inflation all across the world. So we're shooting ourselves in the foot to a certain extent. Now, the reason that this is being done isn't an economic decision. Nobody is cutting the purchase of Russian oil because they think it's a good idea financially. It's being done for political reasons, because everybody wants the war to stop in Ukraine. They're trying to apply as much pressure on Russia as possible. But the flip side of all of this is it's increasing the chances of a global recession kicking in. And we've now got a defined timeline on that. So if all of these purchases are stopping by the end of 2022, then the maximum impact will be kicking in at that point. So looking at that timetable, it's very likely that we could see a global recession by the end of 22, or certainly at the start of 2023. But the impact won't just be a global recession. We are also going to see a huge impact on Russia. These sanctions have been designed to punish Russia. And I think it's very likely that losing 50% of their customers, and let's not forget that this is a customer base that's being supplied by all of the pipelines that have been put in place by Russia over the last 20 years. So this has been a fantastic market for Russia. They set up a great delivery system and they're able to deliver massive volumes at very low cost. And that's meant that they could produce huge volumes of oil. Oil production is really dependent on maximizing the flow. So Russia have been taking maximum amounts of flow out of all of their oil wells over the last 5 years or so. Switching their supplies is really going to cause them a problem, because in the short term, they're going to need to find new markets and they're going to need to find ways of shipping that oil to those markets. And the vast majority of those purchases are going to need deliveries via the sea. So they'll need tankers. And as I talked about in a previous video, there aren't enough tankers around right now to be able to move the volumes of oil that Russia have been selling into Europe. So logistically, that's a major problem for Russia. In addition to that, they're also going to have problems with regards to insurance. I posted a video recently talking about the fact that insurance for shipping is dominated by the Western world. These companies have been built up over the last 100 years or so, and it's a very established infrastructure. Russia will find it very difficult to find insurers for those ships. So logistically, Russia's facing some massive challenges right now. And Russia simply doesn't have anywhere to store the volume of oil that it's producing. So that means that it may have to cut back on its production of oil. And that will have massive implications for those drilling sites and all of those wells. Because oil wells do not like it if you try to slow or stop their flow. So overall, even though we've been expecting this announcement from the EU, it is going to have massive ramifications, both for Russia and also for the global economy. So hopefully you've enjoyed this more extended version of news that the EU is banning the import of Russian oil. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Hey guys, just a quick update on Joe Blogs 2. I haven't mentioned it for a little while. I am still waiting for that creative content. I'm ready to go. The channel is monetized. I'm ready to start posting things. So far, I've had a few people contact me and I'm in discussion with some of those with regards to getting a video up on the channel. But if you're thinking about making a video or you're still mulling it over, now's the time to do it. Give it a go. Just give it a try. It doesn't really matter if it doesn't work. But think about it. Structure it out. Have a start, a middle, and end. Have a story. Have an idea about your thumbnail. Some of the ideas that I've been contacted with haven't been structured in that way. So I don't think they will be successful on the channel, because people need to know why they're watching that video and what they're trying to get out of it. So try to think about those aspects when you're putting something together. But don't be afraid. Don't hold back. Have a go. Get your camera out. Get a microphone. Do some filming. Watch it back. Do some editing. And then when you're ready, give me a shout and we can get that video up onto the channel. So thanks for watching this part of the video, and thanks for watching this whole video all the way through to the end.